Today on Real Radio.
We need to recognize that this is our nature, but we need to stop resisting God. James 4:10 says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Look, you can try to lift yourself up, which goes back to pride, and Satan's going to play upon that through the Antichrist, and politically and through financial prosperity, he's going to lift up people. Oh, that's what they want more than anything. As long as I've got this, I'm fine. Keep them blinded, Satan's thinking. Or you can humble yourself in the sight of God and he'll lift you up. Better to be lifted up by the Lord than by yourself. He loves you so much, and it's fun. He loves you more than you love you.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his fascinating series through the book of Revelation. We're looking at chapter 13. This is where it tells us about the dragon, the Antichrist, the beast, and all that happens between them. Very fascinating material, as we'll hear in this presentation called Antichrist is Coming to Town. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Where do you find Satan at work to destroy? In churches, in Christian ministries, in works that matter. He can't stand Christians. Are you with me? He hates you. And he wants to stop you. So what he tries to do is build buildings with a cross on the top of the building or something else on top of the building. He tries to dress up like the church. He tries to act like the church that he might destroy one more soul. And thus he knows to make church a mockery and to downplay it as well as ministers of Christ. He knows how to deceive. Third and final point, we'll be done with this. Verses 6 through 10, the coming of the Antichrist will become an evil event. How so? Because of man's resistance toward God. It's, what's the saying? If the shoe fits, wear it. Satan's smart. Now, he's not omniscient, but he knows a lot because of trends and tendencies. People ask, can Satan read your mind? I don't believe Satan can read the mind of a Christian, and I have a hard time believing Satan can read the mind of a non-Christian. I don't think he's got that kind of power. Well, yeah, but you know what? This and that. Yeah, you know why this and that? Because he's got a lot of experience. So listen to this. I believe he knows all about man's desire to resist God. Verse 6, then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme in his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. This is amazing to me. The Antichrist is going to curse God, curse God's dwelling place in heaven, and those who live there. Isn't that weird? Now, I had to write this down. There's a little bit of sarcasm here, but it makes me happy. This was a church quiz. Okay, the Antichrist is a man. He's standing on earth. Can he damage God in heaven? Anybody? Nope. Question number two. Can he defeat Jesus Christ? Nope. Can he defile heaven itself? What about those that are in heaven? That will be you and I. Can he hurt us? Then what's he doing it for? Because the world will hate God and all things associated to the gospel. That's amazing to me. It's right here in the book of Revelation. So, well, it's just like the day and age in which we live in. That's my point. It's moving toward that direction. And he's going to curse God. He's not going to deny that God exists. He's going to curse God. He's going to curse the fact that God dwells in heaven. And he's going to curse all those who are in heaven. What do I care? I mean, honestly, what will you care? Again, when I see man acting like that, I just love the thought that God just peers down and it's as though there's an ant holding a megaphone trying to make a difference. If it wasn't such a blasphemous moment, it'd be, I think, funny to God. who is this guy? The Antichrist perhaps may not be saying anything new to people at that time, but it's how he says it that will capture them. I believe that he will come into a world that is so ripe for him. And what does that mean? How can that be true? Because listen, we now approach the giving of the gospel of which the Antichrist is against. We conclude this part of this book in our study with a plea that begins right now. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to be pleading with you in a moment. Number one, the Bible says that mankind is a fallen race, alienated from God. That's what the Bible says. Romans 3:20-23 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in the sight of God. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law has been revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. Listen, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Meaning every human being has sinned and come short of what God will allow into heaven. But if you begin reading in Romans 3:20, it's exciting. I can have access to heaven by trusting in Jesus Christ. Saved, we call it. Born again, Jesus said. It's free. It must happen, or else you're lost. Well, I don't like that. Well, listen, technically, according to the Bible, we're lost until we come to Christ. We're already lost until we come to Christ. But when you come to Christ, you are saved, rescued, redeemed. Technically, the word means bought out of the slave market and placed into a new family. That slave market is that before we knew Jesus, we would wake up every morning and live our lives for ourselves. We were in slavery to ourselves. But ultimately, the Bible says, our sin. We need Christ. Now look, don't panic. Every human is born into sin, even the littlest baby. You say, that's not fair. I understand your feelings, but don't panic. There is no judgment upon that child for sin personally until they are aware of the knowledge of the law. Are you with me? In other words, a little baby, should that baby die from sickness, accident, disease, whatever, that baby goes into the presence of the Lord. Automatic, default, into the presence of God. Why? Because that baby never had knowledge of the law. So he couldn't willfully, understandably sin against the law. Was the baby born into sin, the sin nature? Yes. We all know, if you've ever had kids, you know that's true. None of us have taught our kids how to lie. They just do it naturally fine on their own. See, now this is how you steal cookies. No, they already know how to steal cookies. That's the Adamic nature that's within them. But even still, at that young age, they're not responsible for their sin until they come to the knowledge of the law. Then they're responsible. We call it the age of accountability, which nobody knows what that age is. So don't ask me later. Nobody knows. It's different for every human being based upon maturity and understanding. Now, listen, having said that, mankind is at war with God. It's in our hearts. Listen, you know what Stephen said to the Jewish people? He says, you stiff-necked, listen, he's witnessing to them. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hardened ears. I don't know if that's a good way to start a witnessing campaign, but you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. That's what Stephen said. You're resisting God. Every time you hear something good about God, you fight it. Why, Stephen's saying, what's wrong with you? He loves you. He's gone over and over and traversed from heaven to earth to tell you that he loves you. He dies on the cross to tell you that he loves you. He even says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, because he loves you. And then you're fighting against God. Stephen says, what's wrong with you? You're stiff-necked and hard of heart and hard of ears. The very thing you need, you're fighting against. Romans 13:2 says, therefore, whoever resists God's authority resists the ordinances of God, and those who resist will bring themselves into judgment. That's key. They'll bring themselves into judgment. I had to chuckle a moment ago when resisting the thing that's the very best thing for us. Now, I don't know, maybe my kids picked up on my perverted DNA when they were born. But I remember doing this as a little kid, and my kids did this when they were little. And if this happened to your children or to yourself, will you please nod with me, lest I be condemned? Have you ever noticed that when children are hungry, are you hungry? Yes. Okay, sit down, we're gonna eat. Okay, you can even say, what do you want? I want applesauce and whatever. Ground up green beans or whatever the thing is, you know, these little kids eat. God help them. But if you notice, you know, you can get them whatever they want. Have you noticed when they're really frustrated and really whatever they are at that age, and you go to get them for them, you can get them a Happy Meal and they go, I don't want it. No, I thought you were hungry. I don't want that. But you like this. I don't want it. And then you go to take it away. Does anybody know what I'm saying? You go to take it away and they go, no. And they reach for it and then you set it back in front. Then they push it away. Have you noticed this? Somebody nod. Lie to me, will you? Make me feel better. Where does that come from? A parent goes, what? Honey, are they sniffing anything under the kitchen cabinet? Have they gotten into anything? Have they eaten, you know, dog food? What's happened to them? What is this thinking? But when I saw that, I totally forgot about that in my life until I had kids. And then I saw the push away and I thought, oh, that's me in them. It's me and them. They are a little me. And God just says, now just calm down. It's just the sin that dwells within you and them. It's in the human race. It's in us all. Every one of us, if we catch a fish and it's a 9-inch fish. Why is it there's this law within us that wars against righteousness? And that law says, don't say it's a 9-inch fish. You've got to say it's a 13-inch fish. You can see somebody under the conviction of God. Oh man, we caught this fish. I caught it. It was this big. And God's convicting. You can see it. And it was, I mean, it could have been this big. As the fear of the Lord sets in. Well, actually, it was a minnow and I used it for bait. We need to recognize that this is our nature, but we need to stop resisting God. James 4:10 says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Look, you can try to lift yourself up, which goes back to pride, and Satan's going to play upon that through the Antichrist, and politically and through financial prosperity, he's going to lift up people. Oh, that's what they want more than anything. As long as I've got this, I'm fine. Keep them blinded, Satan's thinking. Or you can humble yourself in the sight of God and he'll lift you up. Better to be lifted up by the Lord than by yourself. He loves you so much. And it's fun. He loves you more than you love you. Now, somebody wrote me a note recently and said, I hate myself. I have it in my office. I hate myself. And it went on to say about their situation and about that they're crying out. You know, the truth is, we don't really hate ourselves. The Bible says that that's actually not possible. The Bible says, Jesus says, we naturally love ourselves. Did you know that? That's one of our problems. We think we're the greatest. Yeah, I don't. Well, actually you do, because no, there's so much about me that I hate. Yes, I understand, but you're so focused on you that you become an idol in your own life and you're all that you can think about. You're a legend in your own mind. It's always wherever you go, you, yourself, and yourself, you know, and you and I, and that's all you can think about. And when you look in the mirror, you don't just comb your hair so you can get out of the house. It's like you can hear violins and the orchestra kick in. When you look in, it's, ooh! Oh. Look, comb it and get going. Why? Because if we hated ourselves, we would be happy that we're so miserable. Ushers, more coffee. You see that? I hate myself. Well, if you hated yourself, you'd be happy that you think you're the ugliest person on the planet. Well, why? Because you hate yourself. See, the fact is you don't hate yourself. God says, humble yourself. I'll pick you up. Maybe it's too early to continue on this point. We'll just be moving on. My friend, God says in Romans 5, verse 8, that when he so demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, listen, his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. How much more then, having been justified by his blood, we have been saved through the wrath through him? For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of Jesus Christ. Listen, church, when did that happen? Jesus died 2,000 years ago. Okay, the ability to be reconciled to God was offered up at that moment. Today, you need to enter into what was provided for you. It's almost like your grandpa deposited money in the bank in your name, but it sits and rots in that bank unless you come and get it. Are you with me? Jesus did this. It's done. You'll never have it unless you go get it by faith, believing that when he went to the cross, he died for you on the cross. He loved you so much. How much more then, now having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life, because he lives again. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 18:11. For the Son of Man has come to save life, that which was a lost life. Jesus came to save the lost. And so there's this agenda. Because of man's hatred toward believers, it says in verse 7 that he will wage war against the saints and overcome them. My friend, there's no way to dampen the word overcome. Those believers during the tribulation period will be crushed by the Antichrist. They will be completely destroyed, killed. It's an evil word, my friend, this word overcome, because it means this. It starts this way. The word implies like a cat that plays with a mouse and torments it. He will eventually crush it. Remember the Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church? Yes, there's persecution going on today in the world, but the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Did you know that that verse, as sweet and precious as it is, applies to the church? The tribulation saints that are not members, listen, that are not members of the church, but are tribulation saints, they will die for their faith in Jesus. This man, the Antichrist, and his political and police agenda will crush them. He will first antagonize them, frustrate them, and then crush them. The believers in Jesus during that time will be destroyed for their faith. I'm going to give you some scriptures very quickly. Quickly. Write them down. I won't read them. Daniel 7:21 backs this up about the tribulation period believer. Daniel 7:21. Daniel 7:25 says this. Daniel 12, beginning at verse 1, says this. Daniel 12, verse 7, says this. And finally, because of man's rejection of the truth, this will become a horrifically evil event, this man. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him. Well, except those who are being crushed. Except the believers. They won't worship him. Look at who these people are. If you've been awake or if you've been sleeping, now's the time to wake up and then we'll end. Whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb. That's key. The Lamb's book of life. Slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. That's those tribulation saints. I said a moment ago that I was going to plead with you, and I plead with you now. Is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? People, every one of you in this room, no matter what your belief is, no matter what your thoughts are at this very second, if you are drawing breath at this moment, your name is written in the book of life. Every human being that's ever lived has their name recorded in the book of life. We'll study that more in Revelation chapter 20. Listen, today, You need to make sure that verse 9 and 10, 8, 9, and 10 are working in your life. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Well, Pastor, how do I get my name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Easy. Today, agree with the gospel that Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead for you personally, that you are lost without him, but if you accept him, you come into that kingdom. You know what he does at that moment? All the angels are watching, apparently, because it says that when this happens, they rejoice in heaven. God gets on his Apple. I'm sure it's not a IBM. He gets on his Apple spreadsheet. He highlights the name Jack, my name. He takes my name, Jack Hibbs, highlights it. He goes to edit, right? Copy, not cut. That's a, not cut. Copy. He goes over to another page, another file. It's titled The Lamb's Book of Life. So the first one that's opened is the Book of Life. The second one that's opened is the Lamb's Book of Life. What you want to do is get your name highlighted and copied and then put over on this Lamb's Book of Life, edit, paste. Boom. Your name applies in both places at the same time. How do you know? Those that are born again, their name applies in both books right there. But if you die without getting your name copied to the Lamb's Book of Life, you appear before God and the books are opened, and all those whose names have been blotted out of the Book of Life are judged. You see, if you don't get your name copied in the Lamb's Book of Life, then it's erased in the end in the Book of Life. So to speak, we've all been born once. Our name appears in the Book of Life, yes? To have your name appear a second time, you have to be born a second time. Make sense? I hope it does, because it's your eternal destination that is at stake.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study called Antichrist is Coming to Town. A look at the first 10 verses of Revelation chapter 13. Remember, we bring to you Real Radio here every weekday for your continued spiritual growth and comprehension of God's Word. And in fact, we're making an offer to you that'll help you in this way even more. It starts with a book that's highly recommended by Pastor Jack called Set Apart by R. Kent Hughes. Set Apart is a social report on the behaviors and lifestyles of Christians and how they're becoming mere reflections of the world. And yet, the word holiness means just that, set apart, to be called out from the ways of the unsaved. Now, for your contribution to Real Radio of any amount, we'll be glad to send you the book Set Apart by R. Kent Hughes. In addition, we'll include the powerful message delivered by Jack Hibbs called Can a Nation Rise Again? Pastor Jack gives the answer as well as what it takes in order for it to happen. So, for a tax-deductible gift to Real Radio of any amount, we'll be happy to send to you both of these powerful tools. Here's our mailing address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Once again, our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our telephone number is easy, 909-393-7100. 909-393-7100. Or pay us a visit at www.realradioactive.org. www.realradioactive.org. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and is able to continue on the air reaching people for Christ because of your financial participation. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.